Sunday Shiur in Shar HaBitachon, ladies, Sunday afternoon. Not clear if it's Shiur number 9 or 10, but we're going to call it number 9. It's Lamed Nisan, Tav Shinayin Hei, first day of Shchedesh Iyar, Lamed Nisan, and it's Yom Aleph, Parshas Achrimos Kedoshim, and it's the first Shiur after Pesach Tav Shinayin Hei. And we're calling it Shiur number 9. Okay, it's a few seconds early, but we'll just... And we're going to really start Perek Beis. Perek Aleph is very short. Perek Aleph defines the essence of Bitachon. Again, not the essence in terms of a definition, because the definition isn't to be calm. That's not the definition of Bitachon. We're defining Bitachon as relying on Hashem. We always rely on something, and the only real source of reliance is on Hashem. But that should take, it's supposed to, the essence of Bitachon, as he says it in Perek Aleph, is we're trying, the essence of it is that you outsourced it. Now that's the reality of that reliance is that it's not up to you. It's up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he's going to decide what's going to be, and he has the power to decide what's going to be. And you're relying on him to do whatever needs to be done. If I want to get to Yerushalayim, if I want the cake to bake properly, I want my children to come home safely, anything. I want the electricity to work. I want my refrigerator to work. I want to have a job, I want to have a parnasa, I want to have enough money to make the month, to end the month. So what are you relying on? So most people really, if you think about it, then you break it down, you say, what am I relying on? I'm relying on my own know-how, my intelligence, my charm, my charisma, my capabilities. I'm relying on the bank, on the electric company, on the boss. I'm relying on the bus company. So all these things still leave room for nervousness. What Perek Aleph tells us is that if we're in Hashem's hands and we feel that way, so the reality of that bitachon would be to be totally calm, because you feel like you outsourced it. Let's say you give someone else the money to deposit in the bank because you can't go, and you totally trust that person, and you're 1,000% sure he's going to do it, so you're calm. You're not worried anymore if it's going to happen. So Perek Aleph teaches us that that's what we want to achieve. We want to achieve the reality of the reliance is that, is it real? I'm calm. I outsourced it to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, why should I be calm? That we're going to learn in Perek Beis and Gimel. But Perek Aleph is very short. He just wants to put down the definition that it's real. I'm relying on Hashem. When you outsource it to someone that you can rely on, you're going to be calm. Why aren't we calm usually? Because we really don't feel we can rely on that person. And you're nervous if the person's going to do it or not. So everybody always wonders, but I don't know if Hashem is going to do it or not either, right? But when we learn Perek Beis and Gimel, you'll see that that is not a source of uneasiness. If you have the right attitude, the right hashkafas vis-a-vis Hashem, so it's not going to make you nervous, the fact that you can't predict the future. But, you know, we're all used to, you're in good hands with Allstate, but you may or may not be. Allstate's interested in themselves, but we know we're in good hands with Hashem. That we do know. And but you have to work on it. This doesn't come easy. So we're gonna learn Perek Beis. That's what Perek Aleph says though, that the reality of Bitachon is manifested in an inner calm and no stress, and we're gonna learn more about optimism, cheerfulness, being in a good mood. That's all part of, because, you know, I'm in the hands of someone very capable, very wise, very good, and as we're going to learn in Perek Beis and Gimel. And then he puts in another twist at the end. It's only five lines, the first perek. And that's very important, because in terms of my calmness, it's that this, the object of my bitachon, is going to do what's good for me, even if I don't deserve it. So you would think, you know, maybe it's true, maybe it's not true, or even if it's true, so, but is that such an important thing? So I think it is very important. And you see the Chavis HaLavos always repeats it again and again in Shaar HaBitachon. And I think the reason is because we all walk around with guilt feelings, especially if you're a Jewish mother. You walk around with guilt feelings, and you feel, we feel we don't deserve. I don't want to discuss it now. You'll deny it, you won't deny it. People walk around feeling we don't deserve good things. We're always afraid for the other shoe to fall. We're always afraid for the hammer to fall. I know on a personal level, two bits of tragic news in my life came with a phone call. And to this day, when the phone rings, I'm nervous. Not the cell phone. It's a different ring. Really, it's in the mind. But the old phones, the, you know, regular phone in the house, I change the ring in my house. Or otherwise, I get like a momentary fright when the phone rings. Because that's not how a person is. You know, we expect things, to, you know. So, that's what he says. And it's got this object of to be totally calm is very, the Chavis HaLavos says many times in Shaar HaBitachon, to be totally calm, you have to feel that you're going to get the things that you would like to achieve, even if you don't deserve it. I think it's an amazing insight into human psychology. It doesn't mean you're going to get what you want always, but you're going to get it, you're going to get good things even if you don't deserve it. Now we're going to learn Perek Beis. Again, the Chavis HaLavos, I think, is a unique sefer in that it's a workbook, a training ground of how to achieve bitachon. He defines it, analyzes it, and tells us how to achieve it. Achasibos Perek Beis says, Asher behen yitachin ha-bitachon mehabotech al-abruam hein sheva. Good old Chavis HaLavos, he likes to make lists. There are seven things which would allow you to have bitachon. And again, what do you mean to have bitachon? To rely on someone. What do you mean? I can rely on anyone. Why do I need seven things for? I can rely on... No, to rely on someone in a way that you've met the criteria of Perek Aleph, which is that I am totally unstressed and calm. I can rely on many people and many things, but I'm still nervous, right? I just bought a new computer, right? So there was something wrong with the electricity, and the new, brand new computer shorted out. So now I'm nervous. The electric, something's wrong either with my house, the wiring, or the electric company. I don't know what. But I'm not totally calm anymore. Even when I think of the electricity going into my 4,000 shekel, whatever it cost, I didn't pay for it. Artscroll paid for it. I don't have that kind of money. I make Artscroll pay for everything. Right? But now I'm nervous. I'm a little nervous. Is the computer going to self-destruct again? It happened after a week, brand new. So now I'm nervous about the electricity in my house. Certainly everybody was affected, you know, at least for a week by the tragedy in Flatbush. You know, and now I'm nervous. Should I use a blech or should I use a hot plate? And what's with the electricity? And do I have to check the wires? And all of a sudden we became nervous. So when we talk about seven, when the Chavis HaLavos gives a list of seven things that would allow me to have bitachon, he means full-fledged bitachon in a way that I'm not nervous. That is a difficult thing to achieve. We all realize that because, but I am nervous. Why shouldn't I be nervous? How do I know? You know. So we'll go through the seven things, and the seven things are in avoda. Now, there's going to be repetition here because he goes through the seven things in Perek Beis, and he goes through them again in Perek Gimel with more elaboration. In Perek Beis, he wants you to understand the common sense of what he's saying. He's not talking about Hashem in Perek Beis. It's as if I gave you all a homework assignment, and I said, go home and make a list of attributes that the person, or the object of your bitachon, as I call it, would need to have in order that you shouldn't be at all stressed. So I think you would come up with the Chavis HaLavos' list. You would say, well, the person would have to want to do good things for me, would have to do what I want, would have to be able to do it, and nothing could stop the person, and he's not going to get distracted. Right? We would like to sit down and think, as an exercise, what would make me not stressed? I give my son a deposit to make for me in the bank. So am I totally unstressed? Well, no, because I don't know, maybe another driver, you know, Chas V'Shalom, something could happen to the car, and he'll never make it to the bank. Maybe he'll get distracted by Sam's Bagels, and he won't ever make it to the bank. Maybe the bank is closing early today. Maybe he'll remember something he had to do that's more important than making the deposits for me. So, I'm not totally calm. So let's go through the set. So in Perek Beis, he's just gonna list it as logic, he's not talking about Hashem. I'm gonna keep saying Hashem, because obviously the things he mentions are only possible with Hashem, as we'll see as we go through the seven things. And that's what he says at the end of it. He says it's obvious to anybody, the seven things are logic and common sense. Then he says, you know, logic and common sense also says that no one could meet the criteria of these seven things other than Hashem. So there's no point in having bitachon in any power other than Hashem. Again, bitachon as defined in the first peg. What we want to achieve with bitachon is to be calm, is to be not stressed. I outsourced it. Someone's going to take care of it. I can go about my life without stress. So you say, what's so great about being without stress? So you had to have been here for the Hakdama, when he went through the benefits of bitachon, how healthy it is, and how it makes you an independent person, and it gives you optimism, and cheerfulness, and friends, and people like you, and you're not jealous of other people, and people are not jealous of you, because that was the Hakdama. We spent time in the Hakdama, and that's, it's a very interesting Hakdama. He doesn't do that in any other shire. He spends all Hakdama telling you the benefits of having bitachon. So that if you question, why do I want to achieve that ultimate bitachon it's not a frumkeit. See, he's not giving us mussar. He's telling us, listen, first, as I always say, it's not frumkeit, it's reality. Because Hashem is deciding everything. That's why it's so closely linked to Emuna. It's almost as if I would say the sentence, I might as well have bitachon because it's anyway true. So like, what do I gain out of living a lie and having bitachon in other things if the truth is that Hashem is in charge of everything? So I might as well go right to the top, cut out the middleman. It's cheaper also when you cut out the middleman. And in life, it's cheaper, because when you rely on other people and you put your reliance on them, you all of a sudden have to match your actions to what they expect from you. And you have to cater to them, and maybe you don't, you know, that's a price. You pay a price. That's what Shaar Yichud HaMaisa focuses on. The Shaar after Shaar HaBitachon focuses on very heavily, is that to be an independent person and not to live your life that other people want you to live, unless of course it's the Rav. Unless of course it's a Rebbe and a mentor and someone that teaches you, then of course you want to live up to what they say is right, because you're learning from them. He's not talking about that. He's talking about friends, or people who are not necessarily, you know, friends, or the principal of your children's school, you know, and he wants you to act a certain way, and you don't feel that it's correct, you know, but you're afraid. You don't want your kids to get kicked out of school. You know. So everything comes at a price, and Shaar Yichud HaMaisa teaches you to not pay that price. But it's linked to bitachon, because you have to have a strong bitachon to be able to be tough enough to be able to do that. Otherwise, you're a nervous wreck and you're scared and you can't bring yourself to do it. And if a boss, a workplace is not refined, is not a good place to be, whether it's because of tzniyus or because of lashon hara or because of nivul peh, or you know, all the things that go on depending on what the workplace is. You know, but what am I going to do for Parnassa, right? So you have to have bitachon to be able to live your principles and ideals. Okay, so let's go through the seven things. Again, he doesn't talk about Hashem, but it's common sense. If you had to make a list, you would probably come up with four out of the seven things yourselves. What allows me to have, to what relies me to rely on something in a way that I'm calm? So now, it's seven things. One plus two plus, it's not this or this. You need all seven. Echos man is that the object of my bitachon likes me, loves me, cares about me, and wants only good things for me. If I don't have that, I can't start, because I'm going to give my son the deposit, and if my son doesn't like me, he's going to bedafka not make the deposit, you know, or he won't put it on the top of his list of things to do. Harachamim v'hachemla v'ahava. I'm not going to analyze each word. It means the person cares about me, loves me, and wants what's best for me. Ki ha'odam, kishehu yodea b'chaveiro. We're not talking about even Hashem. This is just logical. For me to rely on someone in a way that I'm going to be calm, the first thing is that the person cares about me and wants to do what's good for me. Kishehudea b'chaveiro shimurachim v'chomei lolov. Then yiftach bo. Then I could have b'tochon in him. V'tanuach nafshu olov b'chol ma'ashayef yicheu b'nyonu. No matter what I ask him to do, he cares about me. And he's concerned about me, and he loves me, and so that's number one. That has to be there. Vashen is number two. Shei yodea bo, that I have to know about the object of my bitachon. Im ohavaso, it could be he cares about me, you know, a million percent, but he cares about other things too, and he can't handle everything on his plate, and he gets distracted, or tired, or lazy. So it's not enough that he cares about me, that's very wonderful, but what do I do if he forgets about me, or gets distracted by other things, or is too busy to take care of what I asked him to take care of? He doesn't ignore, he doesn't turn aside from me, and he's not lazy, he's not distracted, b'kitzur, he doesn't go off to other things. But I know he's on the job. He's on top of things. He loves me and cares about me, and he's on top of things always. There's no such thing as distractions or laziness or asleep or busy or lazy. No such thing. He's always on top of things. Now you start to feel like, oh, he can only be talking about Hashem. I know that he is trying to do it. He's on top of it. Now, we don't know what it is yet. It doesn't necessarily have to be what I want to happen. But we're going to see. But whatever, whether the bus is going to come, whether the electricity is going to flow, whether I'm going to have enough money at the end of the month, whatever it is, he's on top of it. And he cares about me. Okay, that's two things. He cares about me and he's on top of it. He didn't forget about it this month. He didn't go on vacation because it's, he's not going to say Achrei HaChagim, right? He's on top of it. Ki Yimlo Yisbarlo Mimeno Kol Zeh, because this is an avoda. Really, we're going to learn about it to relate it to Hashem, and you're going to see it's an avoda, because the first thing is that people don't believe that Hashem loves them. And we'll see the Chavis Avodas puts down in Perek Gimel. He says the most important thing in the world is to know that Hashem loves you more than you love yourself, more than your parents love you, more than your spouse loves you. Hashem's Ava is more than any other Ava in the world. In fact, everybody else's Ava is a reflection of Hashem's Ava. That's how Hashem sends you Ava. Because he sends you parents and he sends you a spouse. He sends you children, he sends you friends, and that's all his love, Chavis Avodas says, being channeled through these channels. But it's all Hashem's love, and he loves you more than what you experience from all these people. If you don't have these two things clear in mind, again, he's talking common sense, lo yevetchono olav shalem, how can I have, Chavis Avodas wants us to achieve, it's a lifetime of avoda, but he wants us to achieve full bitachon. Mneshu yodeya, because if he doesn't have that, if he's not clear about these things, lo yeh bitchono olav shalem, The Neshu Yodeya, because I know his Halmuso, he could ignore it, he could be distracted, Verifiono Bechetzo. V'chashe Yiskabtsu, when they come together, Laboteach, Mimi Shebotach Olav, from whatever the object of my Bitochen happens to be. Shtein Bidos Eilu, A, Godel Rachmanuso Olav, and B, Verov Hashkochoso Alinyonov, Yiftach Bo Mibli Sofek, except that there are five more things. So far, we're doing good. Number three. What do I do if the person loves me and cares about me and is on top of things? But he can't do what I want him to do. He can't. Sheyia chazak. He has to be capable of doing whatever it is has to be done. Lo yenutzach ba'asher hu chofetz. Nothing could best him in what he wants if there's an opposing force. Nothing will prevent the me'asos bakoshes haboteach. Again, he's talking now in theory, meaning he's not talking about that everything you want is going to come true. He's talking, if I have a job to do, and I want to rely on someone else to do it for me, to take care of it for me, then I need these things, or else I'll be nervous. I won't be able to have full-fledged bitachon. So I have to know he cares about me, and he's interested in helping me, and doing what's good for me. I have to know that he doesn't get distracted or lazy or take a day off, and I have to know that he's capable of doing it no matter what stands in his way. He's capable of doing what I asked him to do. Then I could have bitachon, if another four things. If he's not capable, lo yushlam habitachon olav. Afal pishin is barer, even if I'm clear, shehu, number one, mirachim. Number two, mashgiach. So what? He can't do this, he can't do that, you know. So, how can I have bitachon? He's a very nice person, and I appreciate his love, and I appreciate his desire, and I appreciate his, being on top of things, but I kenished, you know, so, what should I do? You know, how could I have v'chashi yiskatsubo, sholosh, midos, sa'elu? If these three things come together, then bitachon is more appropriate. Yeah, bitachon all of yosaroi. Now we're getting somewhere. The object of my bitachon loves me and cares about me. The object of my bitachon doesn't get distracted or lazy or take a day off. Always on top of it. And three, the object of my bitachon is always capable of doing whatever it is I can think of. Doesn't say it's going to come true. It says, because we'll see the other conditions, but it says, I will now be calm. I have nothing, number four is, Sheyi Odeya, do I really want to give a prescription to a pharmacist who cares about me and loves me, who's capable of filling it, who doesn't get distracted by all the other prescriptions he has to fill, but somebody made a mistake and it's really poison. So I can't really rely on the I can't be calm, 100% calm. What's that? Right? So the person, the object of my bitachon has to know what's good for me, what's really good for me, and won't do what's not good for me, even if I ask him to do it. You see, that should make me calm. Why am I calm when I'm standing and waiting for a bus to Yerushalayim? This is very, you have to admit this. I wouldn't be calm if I would consider that going to Yerushalayim for me would be a disaster now. It would be a terrible thing. I'll wander into a terrorist attack, Chas v'Shalom. Right? So I'm calm because I know that if the bus doesn't come, it's good for me that it didn't come. Because the object of my bitachon knows better than I know and better than anyone else knows what is good for me. That's number four. He knows what is my toelas. Benistor, even if it's not so obvious. Uvenire. Right? Because nira is a no-brainer. You know, it's good to be rich, it's good to be healthy, it's good to, have all my desires fulfilled, but that's not really true. So that's what benistor means. He knows what's really good for me.
So people buses do come, and people do, unfortunately, get on buses that blow up.
Yeah.
So I think you have to believe that if you get hospice shot with Lolita or in a terrorist attack, that it's the best thing for you. I mean, to have...
You absolutely have to believe that. I mean... Transposing it to Hashem? Yeah, you have to believe that. Kol my David kutcha brichu l'tavavit. You have to believe that Hashem is only a mativ. You have to believe that when it says Vayaral Kimis Kol Asher Asa Vihine Tov Ma'od, it's talking about the whole Bria and all the history of the Bria, and everything that happens is Tov. Yeah, that's a necessary belief to have bitachon, and that's where everybody breaks. The people that I speak to break down because they don't really believe that what they see as tragedy and what they see as difficulty and what they see as horrible, Chas v'Shalom, even tragic, that, you know, we don't see the good. We come back to Chayav Adam Levarech Al Harok, same Shem Levarech Al HaTova. We come back to not being able to see things, but at least we can have the Emunah that it's Tov. But people don't. People challenge me, you know, they say, how do I know Hashem's Meitiv? It's a very good question. It took me a while to figure out the answer. It's not one of the 13 Animamins. I looked through the 13 Animamins. It doesn't say Hashem is Tov. So, I got stuck there for a while. You know, I have to believe it. Who says it has to be one of the 13 Animamins? But I Adarabba, it is the essential nature of Hashem. It wouldn't be in the Animamin because it would be like saying Hashem doesn't lie and Hashem is not arbitrary and Hashem doesn't do evil. Hashem, by the definition, Tov, by definition Hashem is Tov. That's part of the makeup of Hashem, that he made a Bria. I mean, you have to get into, if you want to learn it on a deep level, then you have to learn Ramchal. This is what the Ramchal talks about, that the whole creation of the world, not the world, you know, of the whole creation of existence, you know, we say the world is, Hashem created existence. Before Hashem created anything, there was nothing. Not the nothing we think of when we think of nothing, because we think of nothing that's something. I'm talking about real nothing, like really nothing, enough to give you a headache, right? So Hashem is a mativ. Hashem was made, and he created the whole world. Because Tovin, and Rav Avigdor Miller Zatzal points out that that's all included in the pasuk of Vayar Elokim Ki Tov, Vayar Elokim Ki Tov, Vayar Elokim Ki Tov, and then Vayar Elokim Eskol Asher Asa Vinei Tov Ma'od. And it doesn't mean the Bria means the Bria and history and events. Everything is Tov. Everything is Tov. Sometimes we see it. Sometimes we don't see it. Sometimes we see it an hour later when the plane we miss crashes. Yeah. And sometimes we see it 10 years later. And sometimes we see that it brought out, you know, sometimes we see it brings out kochos and abilities that I didn't think I had, but I had to push myself, so I see I had it. And sometimes we don't find out till Olam Abba. Sometimes we don't. That's all. And that's part of a Jew's emunah. And it's true, it's very difficult. People who lived through the Holocaust lost their emunah, right? They couldn't fathom a good, merciful, loving God doing that. But again, we see such a small piece of the puzzle that it's really arrogant, really, you know. We don't see beyond what we see, and we don't see beyond like this many years or this geographical location. We don't see all the ramifications. We don't see how it fits into the whole puzzle of the whole Bria. So we should really be ashamed to think about it. But we're really talking from emotion, from our experience. It feels bad. How can something good feel so bad? You know, and it makes me cry. You know, I allowed a cry, you know, so. The Ramban in Chumash asks what Avelus is all about. He said, but Hashem did it, and, you know, so what are you mourning? Good question. The Ramban on the Lotus Go to do. because you have to. So the Ramban says you're mourning because you feel the loss. You're not mourning that something bad happened. Okay, I don't know how many people do this, but the Ramban says you're not mourning. You're not sad that something bad happened. You see it the way you see it if a person goes away on a long journey. He says the people, you know, waving goodbye when the people take a cruise, right? And they're crying. He says they're crying because they're going to miss the person. That's what it is. You miss the person. That's nothing to do with good and bad, Rabban says. You miss the person. You wish they were still part of your life. There's a void, right? You lost an arm. So you know, maybe it's good that you lost an arm, but you still have that void. Every time you look at your arm, you know, it's not there. So that's painful. That hurts. That's what Avelis is about, says the Ramban. It's hard, you know. It's hard. This is hard. This is especially when we're living in a time of tremendous hester upon him. Okay, we you know, that's embarrassing to say, as long as there's still Holocaust survivors, right? What we experience is nothing compared to that. But we all know plenty of tragedies in our lives, and everybody, if they don't have tragedies, everybody has issues, problems. Yeah, you have to believe it's Latov. If not, it's true, you can't get started with Bitachon. You can't. It's an avoda, like other things. You want some svarim, I can suggest some svarim, but it's emuna. Emuna has to precede Bitachon, because you have to believe these seven things about Hashem. He's going to say that in Perek Gimel. But when you're saying, if we daven, right, and we say, Tov Hashem lakol v'rachamov al kol ma'asov, you know, hey, I never thought about what that pasuk means. Wow. Tov Hashem lakol v'rachamov al kol ma'asov. And you say that three times a day, day in, day out, well, or two, or one, whatever the case may be, or none, no, whatever. But you all recognize the pasuk, and you pound it into yourself. If people would pay attention to Psuke de Zimra, they would be in much better moods. If we would think about what, you know, Hashem does this, and Hashem does that, and Hashem's doing that. So just pay attention, and you say, I don't know if you have time to say Psuke de Zimra, but if you do, and you say it every day, or a couple times a week, you know, finally it sinks in. Who's making it rain? Who's giving me food? Who's giving me everything I have? Is all Hashem. That's a Psuke de Zimra. Bechas Hashacha, you know. That's what the Torah, there's reminders all throughout the day. There's reminders of Yitzias Mitzrayim. There's reminders of Hashem's Chesed. You want to say Nishma? Some people, Nishma does it for them. Okay. I'll say Nishmas every day. Go to the coast, look for the lizard, or whatever that thing is. You don't know, the lizard comes out at 12 o'clock, and you say Nishmas. That's okay, I don't believe it, so I... There's something by the Kaiser with saying Nishmas at midnight, and whatever, and you
eat. What happens?
Some lizard comes out.
What?
I don't know.
What do you get from it?
Oh, no shati. You don't have to give money that month to Kupa Sa'ir. I mean, people come to me and say, you know, maybe Hashem doesn't want good things. So that, you can't have Bitachon. True. You're going to get stuck there. You're going to get stuck. And you have to work on it. If it takes 2 years to work on it, remember. So how should you work on it? Well, you could start by going back to Sha'ar HaBechina. And when you realize that every nanosecond of the day, Hashem is doing all these amazing things for you to exist and live, and you know, and the, you know, the world and gravity and air and water and food and you know, you learn Sha'ar HaBechina properly, it's a mind-blowing experience. No one's going to doubt that Hashem is Tov if they learn Sha'ar HaBechina, because you say, oh, this happened to me. But what do you mean? But look what Hashem does for you. So you think like he slipped up in one thing, like he forgot what's good for you, and he made a mistake. Chas v'shalom. Like, look what he's doing for you every second. Every second. There is constant tov being poured upon us from Hashem. Shara Bechina teaches that in my talking to you, there's like a thousand nisim, b'loshon hamata, a thousand nisim going on. What's giving me the ability? The whole thing, everything is going on, and that's all. The world, look at the world. There's only one planet, I think, with soil. The world is a big food producing machine. There's no other planet out there. There's no other body, celestial body, that produces food. We're here, and it's producing food. And then you start, that there's oxygen, and we can breathe, and just in the right proportions. So it's true. That's why Chavis is built like a building. So maybe you can't do this till you go back and do Shar HaBechina and internalize Shar HaBechina, that Hashem is constantly showering us with Tov and Chesed. If someone, again, the mushal is not a fair mushal, because Hashem does so much more. But if someone saved your life and then took you into their house and then supported you and put you through college and found you a job and found you a shidduch and bought you a house and gave you a job, and then you got locked out of the house one night, you say, you bum, how can you do this? Relax, He's doing everything for you. Probably this is also a good thing for you. You just don't see it, Okay. So with a person, it's not a good muscle, but Hashem does a million times more for us. And Hashem doesn't, by mistake, forget to leave the door open. There's no such thing. So that's our revius. Shei yodea, you have to know that the object of your bitachon has to know what's truly good for you. Actually, but this goes back to number one. This goes back to number one. This is not number four. Number four that we're learning now is knowledge. He knows what's good for me. Why should he do good for me? We go back to number one. What parent, he's the greatest marshal in the world. What parent would intentionally do bad to a child? You're like, shocked. Like inconceivable. Now, should I ask your child to make a list of the times you were bad to them? But it's inconceivable. No, Hashem is our parent. Avinu Malkein. Avinu. Hashem is our parent. We have to work on these things. Just like it's inconceivable to a parent that a parent would do bad to the child, it's inconceivable that Hashem would do. Hashem is Tov, Hashem is Meitiv, and that's why he made parents. Parents is the closest model we have to Hashem. That's why there's Ava and Yira, Kibud and Mora, and respect and love. I mean, that's the best model we have. That's the closest we come to experiencing like a Hashem in our physical lives is parents and children. So you know how you love your children. You know how you would, like, the thought of you doing something bad to them, right? If someone does something bad to a child, we right away assume they're mentally ill. What? Why? Maybe they're just bad to the child, just like they're bad to someone else in the street. Maybe no one's going to. We're all banim lamakom. We're all Hashem's children. Hashem loves us more than parents love their child. It's inconceivable to even say it makes us wince. Like, right? We assume a parent that does bad to a child is mentally ill. Because we assume that, like, by definition, parents full of love and caring and are good. The child doesn't always see it. So that's what we have to say with Hashem. Hashem is our parent. Hashem loves us more than a parent loves us. It's inconceivable. I say it's not even one of the Yud Gimel Ikrim. Like, when you go to parenting class, I don't think they teach you to love your child. They teach you how to love your child and how to show that you love your child. That's what they teach you in parenting classes. That's like the Yud Gimel Ikrim. But they don't teach you to love your child. That's like a given. Your parent. That is in Shar HaBechina, by the way. Shar HaBechina is like that Hashem made parents. Because Shar HaBechina, as Allah says, I don't know if you remember it, there's no bigger pain in the neck than children. they take over your life, you sacrifice everything for them, and then they show you the back of their hand, and then he says, and when they grow up, they're even worse. He says that. He says, one of the Nisim and the Bria of Shar HaBechina, to say, Hashem, you are amazing, is the love and care that parents give children. Parents will do anything for children. They'll sacrifice for children. They'll stay up at night. They'll sacrifice their lives for children. They'll take the bread out of their mouths, their last piece of bread in the house, and they'll give it to a child. That's Hashem doing that. It's in Shara HaBechina. He says, because it really makes no sense. Because the child is thankless. It's a thankless task being a parent. So that's in Shara HaBechina, as the way Hashem made the Bria. Like, it's amazing. Okay, so but it goes back to number one, that Hashem loves us and cares about us. Like, someone that loves you and cares about you is not going to do something bad. So you say, but he thinks it's good. He doesn't realize it's bad. So that's number four, that you're right, that you're absolutely right. To have full-fledged bitachon in someone, the person has to know what's good for me. Why should they do good for me? That goes back to number one. I just realized that I should have said that from the outset. Because that goes back to number one, that the premise is, he loves me and cares. You know, to say Hashem doesn't always do good is the same as saying Hashem does not love me and care about me and want what's best for me. That's like, so you say, but maybe Hashem's punishing me, right? So we're going to learn that in number seven. First of all, even if Hashem is punishing you, so that means again, think of your child. Sometimes that's the best thing for them. Sometimes you meichel, and sometimes you give them another chance, and sometimes you give them incentives, and sometimes you punish them. There's no etza. The kid keeps running into the street. You have no choice but to give a patch, and he should associate. No, don't give a patch where a policeman can see you. You get arrested. sometimes you have to do that. If our kid's running into the street, what are you going to do? Hashem sees we're running into the street, and he has to stop us. Right? I had pain for 2 years. Hashem, you don't know, without a Navi, we can't know things. Right? We're a little hampered without Nevuah. But, it arguably saved my life, right? I'm more careful about what I eat now, and I'm more careful to do certain things. That's because of the pain I had for 2 years. So Hashem knows I'm a stubborn guy. And I don't care about anything. So he had to give me 2 years of pain. Till it's finally sunk into this head of mine that I better change some things. And it worked. And you know how long it takes to slip off the wagon? Like a week, you know. But I'm scared. I'm scared of getting another wound and being full of, and the painkillers are even worse than the pain. Because that like totally that cuts your head off from your body. It's like you're drunk. Like you walk around a state of drunkenness. But you have to take it because the pain is so intense. And as you know, I'm starting to see now how it's the best thing in the world for me. So, you know, whenever you have the question, think of a parent and a child. It's the greatest muscle. So number four is, and it's not, because we don't always know what's best for our child. Because even not a mentally ill, this is parenting class, because even not a mentally ill parent, but parents have issues themselves, you know. They want their child to live the life that they want them to lead. They think they know they don't always know what's best for the child. They're also concerned about what the neighbor's gonna say if the child is a certain way. And they discipline the child, not based on what they think is best for the child, but really what they think is based on for themselves. That's without being mentally ill. We're not talking about, so that's where number four comes in, that Hashem will always do what's best for us. Because he knows, number one is he will always do what's best for us because he loves us and cares about us. And the answer to your question is that it's inconceivable he shouldn't be doing what's good for us. Inconceivable. He loves us. Why would someone that loves you do something bad for you? It's like, that was a ridiculous question you had. I should have just answered you that. It took me a while to get to it. The answer is number one, that Hashem loves us, so it's inconceivable. Number four is that he always knows. But again, we're not talking about Hashem yet. That we'll see in Parak 3. To have bitachon, the object of my bitachon has to know what's good for me. Otherwise, you know, they'll do things to me that they think is good, but it's really not good. For and it's not hidden from the object of my bitochon mashahu tovlo benistar. Sometimes it's hidden; it's not so obvious. Ubenira. Again, think. Always think of the child. You want your child to go to sleep 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock. You know your child's going to be tired the next day, the first day of the zman. And say, you have a yeshiva bach at home. Hey, they're going to be tired the next day. So you want to go to sleep. The child just is mean. You mean mommy. I just had this last night. You're putting me to sleep. Now sometimes the mother puts the kid to sleep because she has guests coming over. And she wants the kid out of the way. So it's not always, it's not evil, but it's not always altruistic. Okay, umashiyita bo'onyona. Imlo yeda kolzeh. Okay, we're holding by four things. If you don't know that the person loves you and cares, see, we say it too cheaply. If you think about what it means, loves me and cares about me, then we would realize that the answer to your question is that it's just inconceivable. Because he loves me and cares about me. That's what we just said. That's the given. So you say, how do I know Hashem loves me and cares about me? Oh boy. That's, you know. So, the object of my bitachon loves me and cares about me. The object of my bitachon is always on top of things. The object of my bitachon is, could always get it done. And the object of my bitachon knows what's best for me. And in lo yeda kol zeh, lo tonuach nefesh aboteach olav. Again, you're going to rely on that person, but you're not going to rely on it the way it says in Perek Aleph, that we want to achieve reliance that leaves me with no stress at all. Chayiskabtsu lo bo daito, the toalosav, that's number four. The yacholto behen, that's number three. Verov hashgachoso alehen, because Lovis wants to make sure you really know it, so he's going backwards now. Verov hashgachoso alehen, that's number two. Vechemroso olav, that's number one. Yechazik bitchono bo mibli sofek. Right, okay. And we still have three more to go. You say, well, what's left? Okay. We'll find out next week. Okay.